sometimes we look around and say, wow, could anything good come from what we're going through? Well, if you've ever wondered that, or if you're going through a time and you're wondering how you're going to survive it, or even if anything good can come out of it, you've tuned into the right place. The show is called That Guy's Mom, and we are here with That Guy's Mom, who is Ann Mayer. She is the mother of Matt Mayer, and we would encourage you to find out more as you listen, but you can also read some great blogs and entries from Matt at themattmayerstory.com. Make sure you go there and check that out, and you will find all sorts of other resources, videos. Just depending on where you're at in life, you will find encouragement there. So, and today, it's good, Ann, to be back with you today as we can discuss some more and help to encourage not only each other, but those who listen to us.
Absolutely. Especially the fact that, look, in this life, you're going to have problems. Something's going to go wrong.
Right.
I always love that statement of yours that I think I've used a couple times. If you're in a tunnel and you see a light, they say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it might be a train.
Yeah, sometimes it's a train. Yeah.
I like that. Because no one escapes it just by being in this world. The fallen nature of man and the fact that we age every day and life becomes hard. Sicknesses set in, financial issues. So I like actually listening to our shows when we're done doing them because I think, wow, that encouraged me again. And that's what we really are about. We really want to encourage those who tune in for whatever it is and whatever place that you're at. Today, however, I have been teaching a Bible study on a book called Hinds Feed on High Places. Now, this book had originally been authored back in 1950s, and it's one of those timeless books. It's an allegory, so everything in it has some meaning behind the names of the characters and things like that, but you can get the impression when you talk about the high places, hinds feet on high places, oftentimes people think that might mean heaven. It's the high places. But as Christians, God wants us to know that we can achieve the high places here on earth.
Right.
Because the high places is a state of relationship with your God.
Mm.
And so not too often can you think of people that you would say, oh, they represent the high places. Maybe Mother Teresa. She's a famous figure that people mm-hmm. might think, someone that was that selfless and seemed to live such a peaceful, giving life without complaining and things like that. But this book has really, really reintroduced me to my own Christian journey. And it's funny, Scott, because I read this book back when I was 20. And I think I might have brought this up in another show, very surface-wise, but back in my 20s, when I read it, it was just a book, and I had not been through any of life's hard stuff. And so reading it again...
So you hadn't been through life.
Yes. I mean, I had little kids, and I thought that was about as hard as it got.
Mm.
Remember the old saying, yeah, little problems become big problems, and you're just thinking, oh, sure, you just try taking care of these toddlers. You don't realize how intense it is as you begin to raise your children that more and more stuff comes into your life, and sometimes it's not easy stuff. But in this book, reading it at this age and now teaching it and digging into it, I am telling you some of the parallels in the book to our Christian journey are so right spot on. For instance, how do we attain the high places, Pastor? I'm asking you. Notice I call him Pastor. I just put him on the spot.
Yeah, big time. Thanks. I appreciate the warning. I know for me and my journey, the high places have always been what I've learned through life's trials and spending time with and learning about God or spending time with Him. And those have been high places. A lot of times that involves other people too, where they've come alongside or, mm-hmm. or been around during those times also.
Okay, this wasn't a right or wrong question, so he's feeling the stress.
I want
right
to know
now,
if I passed your quiz.
He's looking in his Bible trying to find the right answer. The interesting thing about the high places, as I said, is a relationship. And in this book, the main character's name is Much Afraid. And how classic, because really, as humans, we are much afraid.
Hmm.
Fear is a big, big tool that the devil uses. And we all face fear when things aren't in control. So this character, Much Afraid, wants to go to the high places. And there's two distinct things about her character, which are just, again, indicative of us. She has a crooked mouth, and she walks with a limped or a disfigured foot. So think of those two allegories in your head, a limping foot and a crooked mouth. Well, for me, that would mean what comes out of my mouth and what impedes my step.
Mm. Wow.
And so we follow her journey because she wants to be with the shepherd in the high places. But the interesting thing that struck me, actually almost knocked me off my feet when I was reading this at this age, 30 some years later, the high places can only be attained by going down.
Oh, wow.
So when she sees the track, the journey, figuratively, she's saying, well, wait, there's the mountain. I got to go that way. But the shepherd is directing her into the valleys. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Think of all of you, whoever are listening, and you've been praying that you want to have a life change. You want to walk closer with God. But suddenly your life gets crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're here to say you're on the right track.
Yeah, right. We don't often praise God when the tough times come, but it's exactly true. There are times I believe and know, and I can see in my history that God took me down through something. Mm-hmm. So when I came out the other side, I don't know if it sounds right to say, but the hilltop or even the climb and the climb up was much more worthwhile.
Yes. I don't know. I thought that was just so cool. And before she's able to go to the high places, though, and this is something that I explained to the women at my Bible study, because we're a diverse group and come from all different journeys. But one of the things that the shepherd told her was that she had to be willing to have a changed heart. Now, he doesn't put it that way. He says he had to perform some feat on her if she wanted to go to the high places. And what he does is he puts a thorn through her heart. And symbolically, that was her agreeing for him to do that. That was at her moment of salvation, because then the journey proceeds after that. And what I found in my group was that many of the women were coming to Bible study almost like it was book club and had not ever pondered. They had a love and a yearning for, quote, God and an interest. Some of them had not come to a moment where they realized, yes, I need salvation. I am a sinner, and I want to know that I'm going to heaven. So that it wasn't this vague kind of concept that, yeah, there's a heaven, and I hope I get there. And God, I know Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus. So the book was able for us to really have a good discussion about salvation. So if you're listening today, you know, salvation may be one of those terms that you really have never given much thought to, but you have this desire to know God. Well, all it takes is for you to say, God, I desire to know you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't think of a more perfect time than through the season that we're in to pose that to you if you're listening. First of all, before you even start your trek to a high place, do you know who Jesus is?
You know, and it's funny you should say that, because we often sell Jesus and our concept or ideas of what it means to be a Christian. And a lot of times you hear that sales pitch of, well, come to Jesus and he'll make everything okay. And we almost set God up for failure in people's lives, or set people up in their mindset of to fail spiritually. Mm-hmm. So hear us correctly. The journey that you're on, God will make use of it and meet you in it. For some, that might mean that you know, I've seen people who have been sick and made well. I've seen people who are addicted and it's been taken away. But yet I've seen other people who passionately followed Christ, and in the midst of the passion of following Christ, things have gotten harder. And I've seen some fall away, and I've seen some grow stronger. So we want to help you understand that it, you know, you make that decision and start the journey. And along that journey is when God begins to make himself real to you. And the question always comes back, is that what you really want? You really want to grow and really want to know who Christ is.
Yeah, and I think that's what this book and this Bible study is really opening up. It's so personal. We get to ask ourselves, all right, so yeah, I have asked Jesus to save me. I want to know him better, and reject the health, wealth, prosperity gospel, because that's not clearly taught in the scriptures. In fact, I would venture to say that more people had a process to go through that was not easy. And life doesn't just get fixed, but certainly God comes in real ways and transforms your situation and holds you up through your situation. So it's important that if you're listening, let's start there. And then from there, we're going to just talk about the journey. You can't get to a high place just by mental reckoning or devising a plan. And that's another tendency we have. Well, I could do it if I just set my goals. And then, no, because this is spiritual. And spiritual means that when you accept Jesus, His Holy Spirit resides inside of you. Through the Spirit, you can do anything, but not just through mental gymnastics.
Yeah, especially in our culture in America, we look at it and it's, well, how do I perform to accomplish the task? And really inside of that is a performance-based mentality that, well, as long as I do X, Y, and Z, so tell me what X, Y, and Z is that I should do, and then I'll do those. In relationship, it's not even like that with God. He is going to lavish His love no matter what, but the journey is not something we can set out as a task and say, I'm going to do A, B, and C. We can't even say, well, you know what, I'm going to do devotions, I'm going to have prayer time. As soon as we have that list and that to-do list, we're really trying to perform for God to make Him happy, and that's not the goal, and that's not how we grow spiritually.
Right, and we always want to have disciplines. You've heard the spiritual Absolutely. Disciplines are essential. It's like eating every day. You have your three meals. Well, you want to have your disciplines.
Right.
But that's not the end all. You're right. Not doing it just to do it.
You do it to put yourself in a place where God can work in your
yes.
life. You don't do it to get a result. I've seen a lot of people fast for a result, and it doesn't come the way they want it. I mean, I don't know if Ann has ever happened to you, and God does it a different way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's how God works, because He knows what's best. And when you accept that relationship with Him, you've got to really accept the fact that He knows what's best. So He's going to bring about what's best for you.
Well, it's funny. I was sharing that the book that I'm working on, I was rereading a chapter for editing purposes on prayer. And I talked about how keeping a journal was so important. When I went through hard stuff, I was able to go back in my journal and gain strength at some of the things I wrote. See the answered prayer, almost like a book of remembrance, which God always told the people of Israel to always set up, you know, altars or stones to remember what happened, because it was important for them to pass that information down through their generations. Well, for me recently, I was reading through one of my early journals, and I was looking at the prayers that I had written for my son, John, my oldest son who died. And it was during that moment of reading that I realized that my heart's pleading for this young man was answered by God taking him. Mm. And that was a really weird moment.
Let me make sure that's clear. You read through your journals and you've been praying for God to heal and to work in your son's life. But it's not until recently when you reread those, you realize God answered your prayer. And for those who don't know, he passed away 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And was found on the coldest day of the year on the highway in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And he had had some struggles in his life, which had been hard. That was a hard journey as a mom and a dad and as a family. So now you can honestly say God healed him.
Absolutely. I mean, and please, if you've lost a child, I'm glad you're clarifying this, because that's not an easy thing to say, but it really brought warmth to my heart, because my heart's cry was, John struggled with depression. He was diagnosed as bipolar. So some people would look at it like, oh, well, what a failed ending. I did for the longest time. But I think, no, what a beautiful intervention from God to say, your struggle's over, John. I'm taking you.
And that was going to be my next question, is if we went back 7 years to the days immediately following, if somebody had said to you, wow, look, God's intervened, isn't that great?
Oh, my gosh.
Besides putting them in the hospital, you know, it would have been harder to process.
Yes, listen, and again, this is subjective. Another parent may not come to those conclusions in their child's life, depending on their death or whatever it was that took them back home to heaven. For me, reading my prayers, the way I wrote them, it was almost as if I was asking God to release John. And God was, see, His ways are not our ways.
That's right.
And that's a verse in the Bible, in Isaiah. His ways are far higher and different than ours. So for me to even try to figure it out at any point would be fruitless.
Right.
I know this, God knows best. I know this, that the day of our birth and the day of our death has already been determined, and it's written. So I don't stay and haunt myself over all the would-haves, could-haves, and should-haves, and neither should anybody out there listening, because God is God, and he is sovereign, and he is loving, and he is faithful all the time.
And it's great how 7 years later he was able to really show this to you.
It was amazing. Honestly, freeing. And I use it in the book. I use some of the things that I wrote, that God had answered the cries of my heart. And now that son is better off than any of us here.
Yeah.
You know?
You almost get jealous now. Well,
yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Because we're taught in the New Testament, you know, Paul really helps us understand that, you know, while we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord.
Yes.
So he's in the presence of God. And no matter what you think or feel or know, that's way better than being trapped
Absolutely.
In our bodies here on earth.
Absolutely. So, okay, back to our much afraid. As she continues to go to the high places, desiring this intimate relationship with the shepherd, there's a continual issue that comes up, which turns out that she can only get to the high places by denying herself, dying to herself, and accepting everything that comes her way. So, let me put this out there. This is not an easy concept, but if you're listening and you've always desired the high places, then you better know that whatever comes your way comes because God has allowed it to, and we need to accept it. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
And I could tell you when we got that phone call on Saturday, March 7th, 2009, that Matt was in a drunk driving accident and that someone had died, there was no way that I could mentally wrap my mind around that nor accept it as something that God allowed in my life. In fact, it made me sick. It made me question God, God's love for me. I felt abandoned. And I just felt like this was an unbelievable another hit that my family was taking. And it didn't match at all the investment that we had put into our family.
Right. Well, you know, the day you found out and I came out shortly after, you did say something that was scripture that I just thought was profound. And you said, well, God does all things well. He does all things well.
I know.
Well.
We've talked about me saying that before, and I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, I remember sitting there going, oh, my goodness, you know, and even for me to say, okay, God, so what are you doing well here? What could possibly be good about this?
Right.
And then now to sit back, you know, 4 years later and go, oh, my goodness, God has done some amazing things. We've seen incredible life changes. And
oh, my goodness. Not only that, the word of the Lord is going out in so many places.
Mm-hmm.
It does not excuse what was done. It doesn't make it right at all, but God is using it in such an amazing way. Right now, there's several different prisons that are having fellowship groups that have taken the blogs, used them. Guys that have left Matt's prison and gone to other places, and now they're leading. And it's this ripple effect of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 years ago, while I might have said God does all things well, because that is, again, when you study the word, when you walk with God, you know these principles, and you hope that when you're drowning, that's the stuff that you're holding on to as a life preserver.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that you really believe that life preserver is going to preserve you at that moment, but you know it's there.
Right.
And
right.
So basically, as I always say to my boys, it was our default. Our faith was our default mechanism. The sand wasn't. Those who build their house upon a rock will not crumble when the storms come. But upon the sand, you will. So we didn't crumble because the rock we knew is God and Jesus, and he has to be there, and he will hold us up. But does it feel good? Can you even see light after this? But I'm here to say, no matter where you're at and what you're listening to in your own life, don't listen to the enemy who will tell you fear, worry, regret, accuse. He's our accuser. And so it's really important that you hear what we're saying, that you can get through whatever it is you're going through, and God is present, and he will uphold you.
Sunday, after church with a man that I haven't really talked to in quite a while. But a while back, I buried his wife. She died from cancer. And we were sitting and visiting, and he said, after service, he said, I really need to talk to you. So we made plans to meet for lunch. And he brought up, you know, his wife's death. And it's been several years ago. And I looked at him and I said, what if her, and he was talking about how a lot, she touched a lot of people's life with her faith. Nurses and different people who have come that he's run into have said things. And I said, yeah, but what if the fact that you went through all of that and she did all that, what if all that was because he loved you and he wanted to get your attention? And that really set him back, but yet I know he's closer now than he was. I can't say, you know, that he's some all-star spiritually and everything's been good, because he still really struggles. It's hard. It's hard to lose a loved one and watch them really die of cancer over time. But for him to come to the realization that he was allowed to watch his wife in that situation, and for someone to go out of this life with the dignity she did, impacting other people, holding on to her faith, and to realize that maybe God did that for him.
That's interesting, because here's the coolest part of the book that I thought there was. When she begins to go on her journey and the track, the shepherd, who's Jesus symbolically, takes her to a spot and says, don't worry, I'm going to give you two guides that are going to walk with you. And so she's all excited. Okay, I'm going to have two people walk with me. He said, I'm just going to tell you their names. Their names are sorrow and suffering.
Oh my.
And she says, she sees them. They have black veils over their faces, and she's scared. And she says, but Lord, I don't want to go with sorrow and suffering. Can't you send me with peace and joy? But see, she wanted to get to the high places, and he knew that.
Mm.
And her heart would only be taken to the hard places by being accompanied by suffering and sorrow.
Mm.
How profound is that?
Yeah, and I can just hear somebody asking, I guess this would be the question I would ask too, is, yeah, for how long?
Yeah, right.
How long do they have to
don't
come along with me?
Don't you wish they could tell us that? I know.
It's like, is this the Christmas past ghost, and then we'll move on to the Christmas future? How long just do we, but man, and I'm not so sure that I would be adequately able to explain how that actually works. Because it's worked in my life, and I'm not sure how to put it in words.
Mm-hmm.
You walk with those dark veils, those wraiths, those nobody likes it.
Yeah, but the only thing I could say about that, and that's not saying I want it, Lord, do you hear me? I do not want anything right now. I've met sorrow and suffering. I like them. They're my friends. Let's just leave it like that. But you know what? Think about it. And anybody that's out there that is going through sorrow and suffering, isn't that really the time when we see God so clearly?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think you could see him as clearly as he is when everything's peace and joyful.
Because when it's peaceful and joyful, we don't need him. We don't rely on him.
Yes.
And if we're serious about God being active in our lives, then you've got to accept the fact he's going to do what it takes to get your attention.
Yes.
And the longer it takes to get your attention, maybe the longer you have to walk with sorrow. Maybe the longer you have to work with to live and be in an environment where there's some kind of afflictions and there's no joy.
And even while you're having the afflictions, man, God shows up.
Exactly.
He carries you.
So let's put it this way. It's like trying to find your way through a pitch black, dark room where there's no light. And then all of a sudden, all you do is you light a match and you can see almost the whole room.
Mm-hmm.
That's the effect God has when he walks into the midst of those. It doesn't take much, but you go, wow. Now, when you're in a room with the lights on and you light a match, you go, oh, blow it out. You know, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
What a waste. Well, God's a lot like that.
That's a perfect example. I think that's, even Matt has addressed this in his blogs. People talk about prison conversions. He goes, yeah, you know, people always say, no, everybody finds God in prison. And Matt's like, how could they not? Like, even if it's temporary and they leave and they forget about God, you are so in the dark that you grab onto the light, and maybe you see the light better than you would have somewhere else. I think that's even why in some of these communist countries, Christianity is spreading quicker than it is over here.
Sure. And I love in the book of John where he really alludes to, you know, some people, when the light's there, they gravitate to the light, and others, when the light comes on, it shows their deeds and they run. And I've always said you're either a moth or a cockroach, you know?
Yes.
You're a moth, you're going to go for the light. Mm-hmm. If you're a cockroach, as soon as the light comes on, you got to run because you got to hide.
Absolutely. You know, I hope that if you listened in today that you don't think, oh my gosh, I did share with my women at Bible study that I had a woman once say at another Bible study I was teaching, when I saw her again, how come she hadn't been coming? And she said, because it seems to me that everybody there that has a close relationship with God has had something horrible happen.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. That's not what we want to conclude with, because it doesn't mean things have to be horrible. God's looking at our hearts. He's looking at what's best for us. He acts out of love, and he is good all the time. So we want to just encourage you, though, whatever you're going through, suffering, sorrow, peace, joy, whichever mountain you're on today or valley, God is real. He desires you to know him, not just in heaven, but in heavenly places here on earth in your heart. And we hope that this story and all that we talked about today will encourage you along in your journey. And like we close every show, we will close today with Psalm 46:10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God."